I've had such a strange day. I'm sorry. I've been on an emotional roller coaster today, and now I'm like flatlining.
Welcome to Cry for the Coconut.
We've been talking for, wow, almost a half an hour. That's going to be really fun to listen to.
Oh my god, you can skip through it.
I'm gonna find this spot and just like cut the rest of it out, listen to it later. Oh, that was good.
Yeah, you're like, I gotta edit this.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
And I was like, okay, I'll have it set up before she comes over. We're just going to do it and get it done.
And nothing happened in that order.
No.
We did not.
I haven't seen you for a minute, though, too.
I know. It's been a couple weeks.
I wonder if we do the pumpkin carving. Is that last
weekend? Oh, that was last weekend. Never mind. I missed you. 7 days ago. All right. So, as previously stated, I had a very emotional morning, so just bear with me as we, like, go from my handwritten notes that are half done to the digital notes via my sources that are gonna be freelance, like, ad-libbed improv.
I was having a normal morning until Ashley came
over. I'm really fucking sorry.
And then I cried.
God, I don't know what's wrong with me. I don't know what I did today. I made my boyfriend cry for the first time ever in our relationship. That was hard for me. I don't like watching men cry because of me. How is everyone?
Ashley and I did not break up either.
We didn't, no. We're still together. Fear not.
Are my lashes still on?
Yeah, I was looking at that. Actually, I was like, wow, they really stuck on through that whole thing.
These Gorilla Glue. I'm kidding.
Wow. Okay. Oh, I got it. There we go. I'm trying to line up, like, where I stopped taking notes.
I'm going to give you your gifts in the next episode.
Okay. Oh, I forgot I got presents. What a great day. Wow. I don't have to get Haley until, like, 8 o'clock tonight.
Excellent.
I have a whole day to myself. So we hope you guys are enjoying Scary Sundays. The vlog will be coming out this week. It's going to be good. It's really funny. excuse, like, the quality. It's not, like, 100% the best quality ever because we don't actually have a vlogging camera, but it's pretty good.
We had a ring light and my phone.
Yep, so. That's all we had. And it's pretty good, considering.
Yeah, I think the audio is actually very
good. Oh, the audio is excellent. Yeah. It's better than the podcast audio, I think. I don't know. Our last couple episodes have sounded really good.
Mm-hmm.
There will be more vlogs to come. We recently just found out that there's someone that wants us to come do, like, a ghost hunt with them in the shooting range you saw.
Yeah.
I'm excited about that. So we'll probably try to vlog that experience as well.
My family saw my Cry for the Coconut sticker, and all of them asked for one.
Oh my god! We'll take pictures. I saw it on your car and I was like,
yes. Oh yeah, I have to give that to you too. It's right
there. I'm so excited. Yes, Amanda got Crime in the Coconut, like, bumpers, like, window stickers for the back of our car decals, and they look so cool. And I think we should make that, like, I love the way it looks. Like, I think we should make that, like the logo. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
as the
coconuts, yeah.
I think that'd be cool too.
Yeah. I think I'm gonna gift people.
Maybe we can make the eye a palm tree.
Oh, like, that would be cute. In the coconut. That would be cute.
Yes, it would be.
Ooh. But yes, it's very cute, and I am going to shamelessly gift a family member some of the podcast merch stuff for Christmas. My brother's like, can I get one of those shirts? And I was like, it's already on the Christmas list, dude. Haley's like, can I get one of the ribcage shirts? And I was like, it's already on the Christmas list. Don't worry.
I love the support.
I know. And everybody last night, they were like, is your podcast big? And I was like, well, I mean, it's not, like, a famous podcast or anything, but I feel good about what we're doing.
Our numbers.
And I gave them the numbers, and they're like, that's really good. They said most people probably wouldn't have come back after the two-month hiatus. Most people, like, wouldn't keep going.
They do it for, like, a little bit, and they
get
bored.
Right, they're like, everybody has a podcast nowadays, and most people don't make it past, like, 10 episodes.
Mm-hmm.
So, everybody seemed like they were like, that's really great. So, yes. If you listen, thanks. Anyway, sorry, this is going to be a real rough episode.
The editing, I'm sorry.
It's okay. It'll be really funny, hopefully, to them.
Our suffering is enjoyable. Oh, your suffering.
My suffering is enjoyable. It's okay, I'm just going to go sit at Quinn's and just edit it there. Actually, I think I'm going. It doesn't matter. We're moving on. So, this week, We're, again, doing scary stories right now. And this week I'm doing a story. It's one of my favorites. I've heard it a bunch of times from And That's Why We Drink. Em covered this story. And it is, like, in my opinion, a very scary story.
And what is it?
It is the Haunted Dybbuk Box.
I changed my topic like 600 times, and I came across that one in a YouTube video, and I skipped over it.
Good, good.
I was like, I don't know anything about this.
This is a relatively new one. It's not like, it's not even, I would consider the Amityville like a newish one because it was the 70s, but this happened in 2001, so it's very, very new.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, and I think if you're a Ghost Adventures, like Zach Bagans fan, you've probably heard about this story. But I really like it, and it really scared me. It's more of, like, the more you think about it, and the more you realize the depth of the story and, like, how dark it is, that's what's so scary about it. So, without further ado, here we go. Amanda, ask me what a Dybbuk box is.
Is that gonna, like, haunt me if I say that?
No, okay. No, no, no. Don't say this three times, or you'll be haunted.
Okay, what is a Dybbuk box?
I'm glad you asked. It's actually...
I think I had that as one of my intros, too.
We spent too much time together. I'm glad you asked. Well, in this case, the Dybbuk box is a wine cabinet. Specifically, though, this wine cabinet, which is what makes it a Dybbuk box, is haunted by a Dybbuk. Amanda, ask me what a Dybbuk is.
What is a Dybbuk?
I'm so glad you asked. A Dybbuk is a restless, usually malicious spirit believed to be able to haunt and even possess a living being. In Jewish mythology, a Dybbuk is the dislocated soul of a dead person. The Hebrew translation means a cleavage of an evil spirit and the act of sticking. The Dybbuk is said to stay attached, typically, until it is helped.
Would Annabelle be a Dybbuk?
It could be. I know, like, Annabelle and Robert the Doll and a lot of, like, those haunted dolls tend to have, like, multiple spirits locked in them. And then because of those spirits, a demon will usually enter them, too.
Is that, like, all coconut trees are palm trees, but not all palm trees are coconut trees kind of thing?
Yes, all rectangles are squares, but not all squares are rectangles, but I like yours better. Because yes, I like that. Excellent. That's exactly what it means.
I have used that reference multiple times before the podcast was even a thing.
That's so great. Yeah. It's just foreshadowing. Our whole life was meant for this. So, the Dybbuk box, there's tons of Dybbuk objects in the world, I'm sure, but this one is famous, obviously. And so the Dybbuk box in question in this case was a wine cabinet, and it entered paranormal pop culture in 2003 when an antique store owner, Kevin Manis, purchased a vintage wine cabinet from the granddaughter of a 103-year-old Holocaust survivor after she passed. He attended an estate sale in Portland, Oregon in 2001. The estate sale being sold belonged to the Holocaust survivor, who, per her granddaughter, had been born in Poland, where she married and began her family until she was sent to a Nazi concentration camp. She was the only member of her family. Her parents, brothers, sister, husband, and two sons and a daughter all died. She was the only one who survived the camps. She escaped with other prisoners and made her way to Spain, where she lived until the end of the war. The granddaughter said that her grandmother got the cabinet while she was in Spain, and it was one of only three things she brought with her back to America. The other two were a steamer trunk and a sewing box. Kevin moved forward with purchasing the wine cabinet, along with the sewing box and some of the other furniture that was there. After purchasing the items, he spoke with the granddaughter, who commented on his purchase of the wine cabinet. She was like, oh, so you bought the Dybbuk box. And he said...
He's like, the what?
And he said, what's a Dybbuk box? Because, again, to him, it was just a wine cabinet. The granddaughter told him that...
Do you think she was like, oh?
She was like, oh, just wait.
Sorry, I shouldn't have said anything.
The granddaughter told him that as she grew up, her grandmother always kept the wine cabinet in her sewing room. It was always shut, and it was unreachable. Anytime she asked what was in the box, her grandmother would spit three times through her fingers and say, a Dybbuk and a Kesselim. Side note, we know what the word Dybbuk means, but a Kesselim, the only thing I could really find, and I'm sorry if this is wrong, it was kind of hard to find out what this word
meant. She would spit through her fingers?
Yeah, like... Almost like a sign of the cross type deal is what I associated with that.
Yeah.
Like she was fearful of talking about it even. So a Kesselim is Turkish for let us cut. The grandmother always said gravely the cabinet was to never be opened.
Is that why she took it everywhere with her?
Yep. Oh, just wait. The granddaughter had gone on to say that her grandma had actually requested the box to be buried with her. But since the request was not allowed under the rules of an Orthodox Jewish burial, the request was not honored. She wanted the box to be under the ground with her. But it wasn't. Kevin asked the granddaughter what a dybbuk and a keselim were, but she said she did not know. He then offered to open it with her so she could finally see what was inside. But she emphatically refused. He then offered to let her keep it, seeing that it was very important to her, but she then became a little aggressive and said, no, you bought it. You bought it. You made the deal. She's trying to get rid of it.
Mm-hmm.
When he asked the final time if they wanted to keep it, she yelled, we don't want it, and began to cry and asked him to leave. So he left the sale with all of the things he purchased. Kevin at the time ran a small furniture refinishing business, so he took the cabinet there where he intended to refinish it and gift it to his mother. He then left to run errands while the saleswoman he had stayed at the shop. After being gone for about 30 minutes, she called him hysterically screaming that someone was in the shop breaking glass and swearing. She said the doors would also not open, even to the outside, so she could not escape. He raced back to the shop to find everything locked, as she had said, and after letting himself in, found the saleswoman hiding in his office, terrified. He searched the shop, and when he reached the basement, he was hit with an overwhelming smell of cat urine. But there were never any animals in or around the shop.
This was after he bought it or opened it?
This was literally after he bought it. And just put it in his shop.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Did he open it?
Yeah.
Oh.
The lights would not work, and he found that it was because all 9 bulbs in the basement were busted in their sockets. No intruder was found, which was unsettling, because there was only one way in or out of the basement, and they would not be able to get... They would have run right into him.
Yeah, they wouldn't have been able to get past
him. And all the doors
him.
Were locked.
Yeah.
So he went back to check on his employee, but she was gone, and she never came back. And she had worked with him for 2 years. She never came back, and they never spoke of the incident again.
Good on her.
Yeah.
She's alive for a reason now.
Yep. At the time, he did not associate the incident with the cabinet, which was in the basement.
Oh my gosh, I'm getting so chilly.
This story freaks me out,
I'm
man.
I'm like shivering.
Yeah. He moved past the incident, and a couple weeks later, he started to refinish it, still going to plan to give it to his mom, because again, he was not associating it with the cabinet yet. He opened it, he found it was really well made, and so when you open one of the doors, it opens the other door, and actually a little drawer pops open from the inside.
Which, like, was next level shit for probably when
Hell
this
yeah.
thing was made.
Yeah. Inside that little drawer, he found the following items. One 1928 U.S. wheat penny, one 1925 U.S. wheat penny, one small lock of blonde hair bound with string, one small lock of black/brown hair bound with string, one small granite statue engraved and gilded with the Hebrew letters, which he didn't know at the time, but he has been told that they spell out the word shalom, which means peace, I believe. One dried rosebud, one golden wine cup, one black cast iron candlestick holder that had octopus legs.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. It sounds awesome. I would love to find that. He saved all the items in a box, intending to return them to the estate.
Mm-hmm.
The family refused all of the items, and so...
And were they like, you fucking opened it?
Yeah. Well, and this is where I have to tell you that how I'm getting all this information is from a Yahoo eBay archive where he tells the story of what's happened and he's trying to sell the box.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. After he opened the cabinet, he decided not to refinish it. He just cleaned it out, rubbed some lemon oil on it. And it was then that he noticed that there was an inscription in Hebrew carved on the back of the cabinet. He has no idea what it says or if it is significant. There is a picture I'll show you later.
Is it translated?
I don't think so, because I've read through this and I didn't find a translation. But possibly. We're going to look at the picture and we're going to try to look it up. On his mother's birthday in 2001, his mom came to the shop. And they were going to have lunch together, but before they went to leave, he gave her the wine cabinet. She really liked it, and she examined it, and then she went to make a phone call. She was not out of his sight for more than 5 minutes when one of his employees came running into the office to say that something was wrong with his mom after giving her the cabinet.
Oh.
He went back to see what was the matter and found his mom sitting in a chair beside the cabinet, no expression on her face, just tears, and no matter how much he tried to get her to respond, she wouldn't. Turns out that she had had a stroke. She was taken to the hospital by ambulance. She ended up suffering partial paralysis, losing her ability to speak and form words, She did regain her ability to speak eventually. So what they had to do with her was where they can point to letters to spell out what they're trying to say while they're trying to teach them to talk again. Mm-hmm. She could understand things being said to her and could respond by pointing to letters of the alphabet to spell out the words she wanted to say. When I asked her the following day how she was doing, she started to cry again and spelled out the words N-O-G-I-F-T. No gift. I assured her that I had given her a gift for her birthday, thinking that she didn't remember. She became more upset and spelled out the words H-A-T-E-G-I-F-T. Hate gift. Saying she did not like the cabinet.
Yeah, and she doesn't want it.
No. He laughed and told her not to worry. And he said he was sorry that she did not like the cabinet and that he would get her anything else she wanted if she would promise to get better.
I'm sure she's, like, the sweetest lady, too. And yeah. She's like, get that the fuck away from me.
Yeah, because she knew.
Oh, my God.
That's, yeah.
Ooh.
I know.
God.
So, he gave the cabinet to his sister. She kept it for a week and then gave it back. She complained that she couldn't get the doors to stay closed and that they kept popping open. There are no springs in the door mechanism, and I have never found the doors to come open by themselves. I gave it to my brother and his wife, who kept it for 3 days and then gave it back, because my brother said every time he would go in the room, he would smell strong, like jasmine flower smells, but that his wife insisted that it smelled like cat urine. I gave it to my girlfriend, or sorry, I'm reading, he wrote it in first person, so yeah. If I say I really just mean him. So he gave it to his girlfriend, who asked me to sell it for her after only 2 days. I sold it the same day to a nice middle-aged couple. He sold it the same day to a nice middle-aged couple. And then a couple days later, he came to open his shop back up and found the cabinet sitting at the front door with a note that read, "This has bad darkness."
Mm.
He had no idea what it meant, and so he took it home himself. After he brought it home, he began having strange, reoccurring nightmares. He would always have the same dream. He would find himself waking up with a friend, usually someone he knows very well and trusts, and he would look into the eyes of that person, and then he would realize that there was an evil looking back at him through their eyes. At that point in the dream, the person who he was with, would change into what only can be described as a gruesome, demonic-looking hag that he had never seen before. The hag proceeded to beat the living shit out of him. He would wake up multiple times to find bruises and marks on him where he had been hit in the dream.
So he was having, like, vivid nightmares.
Vivid, yeah, that he would wake up with real marks from. He never related the nightmares to the cabinet, and he said, if I hadn't learned what I know about the cabinet now, I don't think I ever would have. So, about a month later, his sister and his brother and his wife came over to his house to spend the night, and the next morning during breakfast, his sister complained that she had had a horrible nightmare. She said that she recalled having it a couple times before and went on to describe the exact same dream that he had been having. His brother and his wife froze as they listened, and they chimed in that they had both had the exact same dream while they were staying in his home.
Ugh.
So at this point, he's starting to realize that there's something wrong, and he realizes there's a common denominator, so he called his girlfriend and asked if she...
About time, dude. Yeah. He had, like, 15 people.
I know,
people
this has been several months at this point. He called his girlfriend to see if she could recall having any nightmares recently, and she described the exact same hag nightmare that they had all had. He asked if it happened the night before when she gave me the cabinet back to sell for her. And she said, yeah, how did you know about that? And so now he's relating everything back to the cabinet. After that,
I have a story I have to tell you, too.
Okay, I'm scared.
Okay.
After
I said that one, like,
I know, you like, started staring at me, and I was like, oh, no. he said after that, all hell broke loose. For a week after the discussion, he started seeing what can only be described as shadow things in his peripheral vision. That's all too real for me right now. Multiple visitors to his house claimed that they had seen the same shadowy things. So he put the cabinet in an outside storage unit outside of his home. Sorry, I lost my spot. Oh, yeah. He put the cabinet in an outside storage unit in his home.
So it's in nobody's house right now?
Nobody's house. It's okay. Outside of his home. Yeah. He woke up in the middle of the night to a smoke alarm going off in the unit. When he went to go see what was burning, he opened his door and didn't see any smoke. However, he did get hit with the smell of cat urine. He went back inside, and the smell was in the house. He said, I do not own a cat, and I never have. So he went back outside, grabbed the cabinet, brought it back inside, and tried to research it on the internet. He was surfing through the internet when he fell asleep and once again had the same nightmare. He woke up around 4:30 in the morning when he felt and smelled like someone was breathing on his neck. He also woke up with that to the smell of jasmine flowers. And just in time to see a huge shadow running away down the hall away from him. He said...
Why is it running away?
That's what I want to know.
That's weird. What a weird thing. Ghosts don't do that.
I know. It's gross. Well, remember, this is, like, a little bit beyond, like, just a ghost. Yeah. This is, like, an intelligent, like, leftover spirit.
Yeah, I would be afraid if I saw something scary running away from me.
I'm like, why are you running away?
Right, it's like, what? You're gonna go hide somewhere and I'm not gonna find you.
I know!
Until you feel comfortable to creep up on me while I'm sleeping.
I don't like this story.
Come fight me like a man!
Fight me like a man! What did you say in our last episode? I used it as our quote. If a ghost wants to poke you in the eyeball, they'll just do it.
Yeah.
He says, I wanted to destroy this thing, except I really don't have an understanding of what I may or may not be dealing with. I am afraid, and I do mean afraid, that if I destroy the cabinet, whatever it is that seems to have come with the cabinet may just stay here with me. I have been told there are people who shop on eBay that understand these kinds of things and specifically look for these kinds of items. If you are one of these people, please, please buy this cabinet and do whatever you do with a thing like this. Help me. He placed no reserve price or minimum bid.
He's like giving away for free.
Yeah, basically. And he said, if I can make any things easier, let me know. I will do everything in my abilities. One last note. On the same day my mom had her stroke, the lease to my store was summarily terminated without cause. When he listed it, he listed all the items that he originally found inside the cabinet included with the sale. And on June 12th of 2003, so 2 years later,
yeah.
He added the following information. There is no way I can respond to all of the emails I've received since I put this thing online. I'll try now to update and answer the most common questions I've been receiving. 1. No, I am not religious. 2. No, I do not wish to have or participate in any sort of exorcism or case study or photo sessions at my home. 3. No, I will not sell any of the individual pieces which were originally found separate from the other pieces and the cabinet. So he was not going to just sell.
Separate it.
Yes, he was like, they need to stay together.
Yeah.
Which is a good
thing. Like, I'm not fucking with this anymore.
I'm not messing with
this. That I already have, yeah.
4. I do not speak Hebrew, nor do I know what the word Kesselim means. I don't know that that word is even Hebrew. And so that's why I, like, looked up what Kesselim meant. And it is, I really couldn't find a solid answer except that Turkish translation that I found. And 5. At the end of the auction, I have decided to take an opportunity to speak with the winning bidder for 2 reasons. 1. To make sure that the winning bidder is a serious adult who has employed some valid reasoning skills.
Yeah, they're not just going to take it and fuck with it.
In making the decision to accept whatever this is, I will not be judgmental. Do whatever you want or need after the sale. To offer full details of the events that have transpired. After I have carried out those responsibilities and upon payment, I will have the cabinet and its contents delivered by U.S. Mail, FedEx, or UPS to the winning bidder. At that point, I will have no further involvement in the matter in any way, shape, or form, period. And 6, to all of you who have offered to pray, I may not be religious, but I certainly hope I am certainly open to the possibilities, no matter what your religion might be. And then, 2 days later, he added the following information. Here's another update for everyone on this listing. No, I will not circumvent or make any deals outside of eBay, even for more money than the final auction price. If you do win the auction and have the kind of money some of you are offering, there shouldn't be any reason why you cannot simply place your bid in an open and honest fashion. I'm sure you can understand why I might be suspicious. Also, for those of you wanting to know if I'm still experiencing anything out of the ordinary, I thought everything was going okay until I got home on Friday, the 13th of June, and found that all of my fish in my freshwater aquarium, all 10, were dead. That is the last thing that he put on his eBay transcription. And so I'm going to end it with saying, like, a little blurb that I found about the further story of the grandma. Because it was bought by someone who was going to study it. I think it was bought by a university group. And they studied it and they were like, this is evil and we have to lock it up. And they searched for her any existing relatives that she still had. And they found her cousin Sophie, who she lived with in Spain. And she said that when they were younger, they played with a Ouija board. And they believed that they had invited something into the world with them when they messed around with it. And it never left. And then later on in life, they trapped it in that box, along with other things. And they said they weren't going to open it again. And then they did. And then World War II started. And And so they both lived out their lives believing that they were the sole reason for the start of World War II because of how evil whatever was in that box was.
Oh, yeah, it's like the worst shit that can happen to you happens to you.
Yeah.
And
then, I mean, that the survivor, or the woman that died, the grandmother, her whole family died.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, I could kill you, but I'm just going to make you suffer.
Yeah. Yeah. And so that group that bought it said that we can't cleanse it. We can't get rid of it. It's stuck here. And so they actually, like, wrapped it in, like, the Ark of the Covenant. And it's one of those, like, remember how I told you about the Ed and Lorraine Warren Museum? Mm-hmm. I don't know where it's kept now. It's not at that museum, but they have it, like, locked away and kept, like, in tight, like, chains and the Ark of the Covenant and everything to keep it from being released.
That's, like, some superhero shit. I know. That's, like, the Mummy? Curse of the Mummy?
Right? Oh, yeah. Like, yeah.
I'm not gonna say that I don't think... What am I trying to say? I'm not gonna say that I know for sure if things like that exist or not.
Right.
But I wouldn't be surprised. Mm-hmm. And, like, I don't know shit.
I think that's rational.
I don't know shit about this world.
No, absolutely not.
and if maybe there is just, like, one super evil fucking thing.
Yeah.
And, like, yeah, it's locked away now and, like, it's just there.
Yeah.
That's okay with me.
That's fine as long as it's locked up. I remember when we were watching The Iron Giant the other day and I was like, do you think things like this really happen? Like, these astronomical things that just kind of get covered up? And you're like, I don't think it's necessarily, like, something like this. Which I agree. I don't think it's something like a giant alien robot come to Earth and we just don't know about it. But I do think that there are maybe... The word supernatural or paranormal just means something that we are not used to. Something above and beyond what is every day
and, like,
for
media
us.
Media knows, like, if normal people see this, they're going to freak the fuck out.
Exactly. If this was a real thing, this is like Pandora's box. Like, this is real life Pandora's box.
Yeah.
And that's scary. And you don't have to be religious. Like, this, you know, this doesn't necessarily have anything to do with, you know, Satan or God. Like, me personally, I think I do possibly believe in, I do, not even possibly, I believe in, like, an ultimate higher power. But I also believe in other things, like, I believe that angels are real, but I don't think they're winged creatures that come and protect you when you make bad mistakes. I think that they're what the Egyptians considered gods.
You ever watch Neon Genesis?
I have.
Yeah.
Yep. And I know not everybody believes that, but I think even people who don't believe in any of that, people who don't believe in God, people who don't believe in the devil, people who don't believe in angels, most people do believe in real darkness and real goodness. And, like I always say, energy is a real thing. We know energy is a real thing. And I think that even if you don't believe it's somebody's dislocated soul stuck in this box coming to, like, terrorize the whole fucking planet if it gets the chance, I think it would be rational and reasonable to believe that there is a way to create horrible, awful, negative energy or to turn existing energy into something dark.
When I was at the bonfire last night, they were talking about this interdimensional theory of how we are 3D. Like, me, you, everything around me, this whole planet, everything is 3D. But what if there's another dimension that, like, you know, say if you see something 2D, like on this paper.
Right.
I'm here.
Right.
If someone was on that paper, they wouldn't see me because they can only see on a two-dimensional plane.
Exactly.
But I'm 3D. So if we're 3D, this is just... I'm always saying 2D, 3D to make it
easier to comprehend.
To
But
say there's some kind of other dimension that can interact with ours, maybe accidentally, maybe purposefully.
Or, like I said to you the other day, when the veil is thin and it's just like the time of year or the season.
I think that has crossed my mind every single day since you said it to me.
It should.
I'm like, something will happen. I'd be like, the veil is thinning.
The veil is thin. The veil, I mean, it's just... Whether
because people at work are having weird things.
It doesn't matter, like, what you think is on the other side of that veil. You don't have to necessarily believe it's ghosts or goblins or demons. It could be anything.
It could be more insight.
Yeah.
Like, you're more
It could be your higher self on the other side of that veil.
Yeah.
But it's paranormal because it is not your everyday life. It's not the 3D plane you live on. It's something else. Like, the Upside Down in Stranger Things. It's the same world, just in a different way. Things that would not be here in our waking life
What a conversation.
I know. I love this story because it's so fucking scary.
I've never heard it. They made a movie though, didn't they?
They did, yeah.
Is it good?
I've never seen it, but it was made by Ghost House Films, I think. I haven't seen it, but it had fair reviews on the internet. So that is the story of the haunted Dybbuk box. I heard it, and like as I was getting into like the Holocaust story and like how they truly believed that they had started World War II, and I like they didn't obviously. They didn't start World War II by having this evil entity.
But there could have been something that they experienced that made them think that they truly believed this thing was so evil. And for that woman to only take, what'd she take with her? A trunk, a sewing box, and this fucking wine cabinet?
Yep. And she wanted to be buried with it. She was like, I cannot subject... It was so real for her.
She was like, I'm gonna suffer through this for the rest of my life.
And into eternity.
To make sure.
Yeah. She was willing to have it, and she was a Jewish woman who had gone through the Holocaust, traditionally Jewish, and was willing to not have a traditionally Jewish burial to keep the world protected from this box. You cannot tell me that's not real. That there is not something real about that.
Yeah. Whether it was all in her head and coincidence or not.
It was very real for her.
Yeah.
Yeah. The story freaks me out. Gives me the willies.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I definitely do think things follow people.
They do. Well, and that's the thing about Dybbuks, because I was researching about them. Because I actually, when I heard the story, I didn't realize a Dybbuk... I thought the Dybbuk box was, like, the name of the cabinet.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't realize that it was only called that because a Dybbuk lived inside of it. And Dybbuks are almost like leeches. And so it said, like, Dybbuks will stay attached to something until they are satisfied or until they are helped.
And maybe that woman was like, I'm not going to be afraid of you. You're not getting it.
And I'm not letting you hop to the next person. Yeah. Like, I'm not letting you feed on me. I'm not letting you feed on anybody. I'm just going to keep you in this box.
Badass.
Yeah. And so it made me, like, think of, like, little witchcrafty things with some of the stuff that was found in the box. Like, maybe those were totems or tokens that she was using to, like...
I used to be paranoid. I said it before. But now, since, like, knowing more spiritually, I'm confident I know nothing's following me.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just... Maybe at one point there was, and that's why I was so paranoid. But now...
And I think...
I know it's not.
I think now, if you were to feel that way again, you would know... better how to react to it.
And not to just succumb to it.
Right.
Because I would...
It is all a mental game.
I really would succumb to it. But now I'm like, you know what? I'm just gonna go to sleep.
Yeah.
If I die, I die. Whatever.
Yeah. It is all a mental game. I was telling you that story about in Quinn's backyard where I swore to God I heard a man laughing in my ear and it felt like somebody was chasing after me through his yard. I literally turned around when I got to my car and I was like, not fucking today. I'll just say it out loud if I need to, because even if there's nothing there, it just makes me feel braver to stand up for myself out loud, like, not today, sorry.
That's how I deal with things emotionally, especially when I'm scared, like, because I'm a big fat baby.
Big fat baby.
I will cower down in a second. I will cry.
We should go to a haunted house.
I love haunted houses, because I know it's
fun. It's not real. Yeah.
But when I'm goofy about it, like, that's where my courage comes from. And I'll...
It's a coping mechanism.
Like, I very much, like, I used to freeze, but now I fight because I'm like, if I'm getting my ass kicked, I'm not going to look like a bitch while I have
it. I might as well go out swinging.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm like, God, I hope a ghost comes up to me.
Come and poke my
eyeball.
Because
it's going to get a fist right through its head.
Absolutely.
If it works, it doesn't, it doesn't. Absolutely. But I know I tried.
Yep. I was hit it with a frying pan.
Yeah.
Like Catherine Knight.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm adjusting in my chair. Ugh. You know, that's only an hour. That's really not that bad.
That's not bad, and so that means, like, my portion was only, like, 30, 35 minutes, which is pretty good.
I really thought it was going to be, like, an hour and a half, and then also my episode.
Yeah, no. We'll be good. I'll be able to go through and, like, really just cut that whole portion in the beginning out to make it into bloopers.
Yeah, we'll deal with that later.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you like that story? I thought you might like
that
one.
I loved it.
Yeah,
that was
I thought
amazing.
You would like that one. I was hoping that it would give you the willies, and it did.
It did. And I don't get the willies.
I know. I know you don't. I was like, yeah, she's shivering. You should, because it's fucking scary. We should watch that movie.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure, I don't know what it's called. Let me look it up real quick.
I think it's just called The Dybbuk Box.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Because that's what came up when I was doing my thing.
Yeah.
Ugh. I'm gonna hesitate opening random shit at the antique stores now.
Oh my God, wait a minute.
I opened up a microwave cart.
Zach Bagans opened the Dybbuk box this year. Hold on.
What?
In 2020, that makes so much fucking sense.
What are the...
And Post Malone touched it.
What are the four horsemen of the apocalypse?
Is it pestilence, which is war, plague?
Yeah. So war,
death.
What's famine?
I think
pestilence. Plants dying.
Death.
Or maybe famine.
Tons of people are dying right now. Tons.
I definitely think we're still in pestilence.
Oh, I think we're still in pestilence.
If that is that, what the fuck?
Yeah, I'm gonna read it. Okay. Zach Bagans continues to work even during the middle of the coronavirus pandemic. Just so you know. Anyway, Travel Channel had it was four installments of Ghost Adventures Quarantine. That's awesome. Anyway. He opened the infamous Dybbuk box. Baggins and a small crew quarantined themselves at his haunted museum for the investigation with everything self-shot.
Is Baggins the one that got it from this guy who bought it on eBay?
No, I think he ended up buying it later. I think there was, like, a lineage of buyers after it was, like, wrapped up and sealed. Uh-oh. Yeah.
Why?
Because he's Zach fucking Baggins. We should watch Ghost Adventures sometime and just make fun of him. Ahead of opening the big Dybbuk box... 10 facts about the Dybbuk box.
Where was it sealed up at?
It was just sealed with that university group, and then it was, like, I think it was, like, passed through people, like, people wanted to buy it, and then Zach Bagans.
So,
he's trying to start, he has his own museum in Las Vegas of haunted objects, like Ed and Lorraine Warren, and I believe it's at that museum now.
I don't think, that kind of discredits the story for me a little bit. If this thing really was as dangerous and the university knew it was as dangerous, how could they just give it away?
Well, I think what happened is, like, different...
People came in charge,
like, different people wanted to have it, and then Zach just said, I have a museum, I want to keep it here. Like an Ed and Lorraine Warren type deal.
Yeah, but then he opened it.
Well, yeah, because he's fucking stupid. Like, Ed and Lorraine Warren kept things, like, mm-hmm. nobody was allowed to touch anything, and they didn't let people in their home.
Yeah.
But he's something else. He also has a van where illegal abortions used to be made, where tons of women died, and he has that, and you can look in it and go see it, and yeah. So.
Where's that in Vegas?
Vegas. I do want to go. Yeah, I do want to go. See, I'm telling you, we gotta go to Vegas. I love Vegas.
I've never been.
It's fun. But he gave a bunch of facts. The Dybbuk box is believed to have inspired the film, the 2012 horror film, The Possession. He acquired the box for his Las Vegas Haunted Museum, which is what I thought. But shortly before its arrival, mysterious protruding holes began to appear in the walls around the artifact, as if something was trying to break out of it. Since it's been on display, Baggins and the museum staff visitors have experienced black shadows, fainting, feelings of sickness, anger, anxiety, and more. There are actually 10 Dybbuk boxes in the world. I didn't know that. I thought there were others, but I didn't know how many there were. Each one aligns with the Tree of Life concept from Kabbalah, the basis of Jewish mysticism. That's the Tree of Life.
And there's 10 Dybbuk boxes.
Yeah. Wow. I'm about to go really fucking hard on this story and do a part two.
Oh my god. That's wild.
Zach Bagans owns 2 of the 10 boxes, having recently acquired a second smaller one. The previous owner of the main famous Dybbuk box purchased it from the estate of a deceased woman who survived the Nazi camps.
You have to cover each Dybbuk box
now. I do. We're just going to have a Dybbuk box series. Sorry.
Yeah. I'm sure maybe not all of them are as, like, intense as this one.
And maybe I can couple, like, some of them together if they're smaller. It is said that the evil from the 20th century, World War II, the Korean War, and more are contained inside the 10 Dybbuk boxes, and by opening the box, it will summon all of this evil. Previous Dybbuk box owners have experienced horrific nightmares, strange smells, hives, welts, and more. So all of the same symptoms that guy had and that all of his family had. 8 of the 10 boxes are accounted for, with 2 currently inside Zach Bagans Haunted Museum.
8 of the 10 are accounted for. So there's 2 that no one knows where they are.
There's 2, they have no idea where they are.
No! No! I hate that.
I'm, like, shaking right now. I didn't know any of this.
I hate that.
This came out, like...
I can never buy anything ever again.
July 2nd of this year, this article was written.
I love antique shit.
I know, we're never gonna know. We're never gonna know if it's the Dybbuk box or not. Because they're not all wine cabinets.
Does it have to be a box, though? Some kind of container, right?
Something. Some kind of container, I would imagine.
And it's got to have, like, a seal on it. So I'll just get stuff that doesn't click shut.
There we go. After being with Zach Bagans when he touched the Dybbuk box for the first time, musician Post Malone believes he was cursed following a series of unfortunate events, including his plane's tires blowing out, his Rolls Royce was in a car accident, and his former house was robbed. And that's the last update on the Dybbuk box. It's fucking open. And two, we don't know where they are.
Fuck.
I know!
Why? I thought the Tree of Life was good.
Well, it's not good or bad. It's just...
It's just what it is.
Yeah, it is what it is. And it's used in... The reason I wear it is because I practice high magic, like I told you. That's why I have the... This is the Metatron, which is the symbol of the archangels. And... Yeah. I'm losing my mind a little bit about that. I can't wait to research that. That's going to be one of those red string on the bulletin board things for me.
Oh my god.
So that... it was a little discredited, and now I think I'm back to really thinking that something really strange is happening with these boxes.
I... love that you made me that protection spell.
You're welcome, because the world's fucking ending.
Can you make me another one?
I will.
I feel like what I need a refresh.
I will. I just come do a nice protection ritual in your new apartment for you.
Yes, please.
Okay.
Please.
Okay.
I didn't feel... That was, like, one of the first things when I was measuring, mm-hmm. I went by myself.
Yeah.
And I was measuring each wall to see what furniture I could do, and I was, like, standing in my bedroom mm-hmm. measuring this wall, and I was like, you know...
It feels clean.
I haven't
clean.
Really felt weird. That's good. Like, it feels fine.
That's good.
Yeah.
But not that I think anything's wrong with your apartment. Sometimes energy will stay dormant if there's been nobody in there, and sometimes it won't wake up for a little bit until you're in there.
I think, because I never saw that apartment before I got it because people were living there, so it hasn't been
okay,
empty
that's
very
good.
Long.
That's good.
Ugh, I gotta poop.
Okay. Well, I really liked that story, and I'm excited to know that there's... 10, and I can do, like, a whole thing on the Kabbalah tree, and...
That'd be amazing.
Oh my god, we're about to have a witchy series about the end of the fucking world. Who's ready?
That's crazy.
So, wow, I was excited for that story,
what
period.
What a great episode.
I know.
Oh my goodness.
I hope you guys like the
Dybbuk
box story.
I'm about to shoot myself.
Okay, our plugs are, you can find us on Crime in the Coconut on Instagram. Keep your eyes out for that, because we're going to have stuff that's, like, not related to the actual episodes coming up. Amanda's going to probably do some cool, funky posts about cryptids. You can find us on Twitter, at CITC Podcasts. Email us at crimethecoconut@gmail.com. Talk to us about the Dybbuk box, if you've seen the movie, if you've been to the Zach Bagans Museum. Anything sort of like that. I think that would be really fun. If you know anything about the other 9 Dybbuk boxes, also send that. We have our Patreon, www.patreon.com/crimeinthecoconut. Shout out to the 2 patrons we have now, Morgan and Karen. We love you very much, and your stickers are coming. I think that's about it. Amanda totally left, went to the bathroom, so I'm going to have to end this one without her. But thanks for sticking around. Sorry it was such a rough episode. And stay tuned for next week's scary episode, the last scary episode of October. Thanks so much, everybody. Bye.
Such are the autumn people. Beware of them.